Baal worshipers. And they thought that Baal was just as great as the S-U-N sun, that he was a sun god, and all things survive by the strength and power of the sun. Now, a whole lot of truth in that. You know, there'd be no green life, there'd be no warmth, there'd be nothing if it wasn't for the sun. So there is a little bit of truth in that. But the big truth is the God that we're preaching originated that sun. He made it. Hallelujah. Everything that is, he made it. Now, this was Ahab's wife, and I heard this from someone's dream. Ahab's wife ruled the roost. Now, she was boss around there. And when Elijah shut up the heavens that it didn't rain for 3.5 years, that old gal was out for blood. She was out to see that he was killed. And God, in spite of all that, took care of the man of God. When there was nothing to eat, God provided him something to eat. He went down by a brook and under God's directions and rested there. And then the brook dried up during the drought. And then he directed him to a little godly widow's house. And there the cruse of oil was multiplied and the meal kept multiplying and the blessings of God kept falling when she obeyed the man of God. And all this time, Jezebel had something going. Now, she's part of the start of this whole thing. She had her a bunch of preachers. Now, probably you thought I was going to preach on paint and makeup, rouge and lipstick and trinkets and all that. When you mention Jezebel, that's really the side that most people think about. Now, she was all that in an amplified-like manner, more than I could even explain here tonight. But that is not the greatest wrong of Jezebel. The greatest wrong, she was just wrong to begin with. She worshipped the wrong God. And regardless how she dressed or painted or didn't paint or didn't dress, she was still a worshiper of idolatry with such force that she wanted everybody to go her way. Amen. Now, you just beware of Jezebel, because no telling what he will do. Now, the reason I'm wording this like this, in our day, it is not just the female Jezebel that we are battling. It's the spirit of Jezebel that can be in the heart of a man or a woman. Amen. Jezebel of old had groves, while others had temples, and the living God had places of worship and a way to worship God. She had her worship in the groves. Not exactly a brush arbor. They were sort of nature lovers. And she had 400 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves. She seemed to have not only the Baal worship, but she also leaned toward other gods. You listen to me. There are people that will believe anything but the truth. They'll cater to any doctrine in any way but the truth. Let me sidestep long enough to tell you that Monday morning, I came in here looking for a tape and was listening back there. And as I sat there, a fellow came through this door. And he walked over and he said, "I'm so-and-so." I forget his name right now. But he said, "I'm walking by faith." Now, that sounds pretty good, don't it? You know, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So here's a man walking by faith. Of course, I wasn't born yesterday and I didn't start preaching yesterday. Now, I know what that means. That's in real understandable language, he was saying, "I'm a spiritual bum." Now, that's exactly right. Now, I don't mean that you should not live by faith, but the reason I said that, I qualified him like I do everybody that comes by wanting something. Could he give me a reliable pastor anywhere in the United States. That is from Chicago. I would presume there's some pastors in Chicago, wouldn't you? I wasn't talking about organizational pastors after our order. I meant even a Methodist or a Baptist or even a reliable so-called Church of Christ or even a Catholic priest. From a natural standpoint, I'd take the word that they know this man, that he's reliable, that he's trustworthy and all that. That man could not give me one minister's name anywhere that I could call to verify his honesty. I began to question him. He had been in the kitchen, he said, over here. Come to find out, he had slept all night, obviously, here in the church. And so I talked with him a little bit, and he kept bringing up this. He is walking by faith. He's just one of God's children, just going out, just living by faith. And so after, I'll not tell you everything that was said, but after I fully discerned of what brand he was, and I'm not talking about organization now, I'm talking of what spirit he was, I said, now, since you're walking by faith, and since you did not get permission to come in here, and you didn't get permission to use the recorders and things that you are, I suggest that you walk by faith right out of here. And he bowed up like he was going to jump me. And I said, maybe you didn't understand what I said. I'm saying, get out. And he did. And then I went in to check the Coke box and in the kitchen where he was. I had a little special place where the keys were. And you know them keys disappeared the same night that bird was here? I imagine every quarter in that box disappeared too. I hadn't yet got in it. That's like them bums that come by and slept in church all time, all night at Dewdrop and stole every tater we had in the kitchen. Lard, spoons, forks, we were making donuts. They got the sugar, they got the potatoes, they got everything. But they testified good. They conned me into letting them sleep all night in the church and stole everything we had in the kitchen. Listen, folks, everything is not of Jesus. Every testimony is not of God. Oh, in the midst of all that, that guy, after I told him get out, he said something like this, and I am not being irreverent. He said something like, help a ta ta people, ta po. I said, now that don't impress me in the least, and I'm going to tell you tonight, if you do wrong, you can talk in tongues until you turn black in the face. That don't impress me at all. Because if you're going to talk in tongues, you walk right. And talk right. And spit wise. So I'm telling you, don't underestimate Jezebel. There's no telling what he'll do. Amen. Now, in the book of Revelation, to one of the churches, there is a message here that mentions Jezebel again. And I'm sure that you've read it. Let me read just a few verses here. 18th verse of the second chapter. I like to hear pages turn when it's the Bible like this. I heard them songbooks turning a while ago. It sounded good. I'm serious. That's cooperation. Amen. Of course, most of the time I give it to you fast. I done read it until before you've had time to find it there. But because preacher's got the advantage, he's got it marked. He knows where he's going. Now, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes likened to a flame of fire, and his feet are as fine brass. God says, he writes this letter to the angel. Now, don't think I'm trying to sprout wings, but this is the truth. The angel of the church is the shepherd or the pastor of the church. He's the one that had the letter given to him to read or preach to the church. Tell them what the Lord said. Now, that's not trying to glorify someone. That's just the way it is. Now, here's what he says. I know thy works. And charity, service, faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and thy and the last to be more than the first. I might stop here long enough to say God knows all about us. Notwithstanding, he said, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works. So you sort of lose the feminine side of it here, and it goes to every one of you. Yet he's talking about the spirit of Jezebel that existed in that particular church in Asia. And this is the thing that I want to talk to you about tonight. That spirit of Jezebel, and I'm really not talking about painted faces. You know, I like to see pale-faced Pentecostals. You know that. But I'm not really talking about that. And the Word of God is not as strong on that as it is this conniving, this sneaking, this just this scene. And the reason I couldn't come to prayer meeting, a brother called, wanted to know if I knew anything about a Brother David, somebody, not Jones, that goes about with a big tent and has a lot of big meetings, and sometimes he has to use a dishpan or something bigger to take up his offerings in. And he's always discerning. And now he baptizes in Jesus' name, so I understand. So I'm not just picking on some denomination. But I'm going to tell you, folks, when people become individualist and don't fit into the body, and I'm not talking about organization, when they become outsiders, and yet they come into town in a big tent atmosphere trying to pull people from everywhere. For instance, some time ago, a brother that has been to our church, but he is a member of another church, He was carried away with this same man. And this man comes to Little Rock most every year with a big campaign. And so this man that I'm talking about, and I refrain from calling his name because you'll understand as I go a little bit farther, he leaves his Sunday night service of the little church that's struggling with, at that time, with 15 or 20, maybe 25 at the most, and takes half of the congregation, which was his relatives, and spends the weekends in Brother David, somebody's revival. And while the little church that's trying to gain strength for the salvation of their community, oh God, when will we ever learn that we're not in this for me, but we're in this for what we can do, and our job is around here. Now, our job's not in Little Rock. Our job is around here. Praise God. I wouldn't object if a man was preaching the truth or anything. You're driving to Chicago to hear somebody preach. But I'm saying, don't hurt your own church to go to the grove somewhere, especially when the spirit of Jezebel is sort of around. Now, let me explain this. And that Sunday night a couple of years ago, maybe three now, this brother David gets up and points someone out in the congregation. Now, look. People like this. They like this being called out. And I want to press this so strong that you won't be deceived by some of this foolishness. I can stand here tonight and I can look over this congregation and I can point out who's not feeling so good and who is feeling good. I can just see it in your face. I can tell by your actions when you've got the victory, when you don't have the victory, when you're sort of sick or when you're dead tired. It just sort of shows on your face or mine. All right. But I just don't care for this. You, sister, back there with the blue dress, would you stand up? Let me ask. Don't do it now. I'm just using you for example. But I feel that you have been having some problems with your knees, or maybe it's not your knees. Maybe it's your feet. Maybe. Well, now, really, just about anybody Mary Lou's age and weight would have had some manner of trouble. And you could pick on a half a dozen here, and they'd have the same trouble. You don't have to be a wizard nor gifted to know some of these things. you can just pretty well know it. Now, sometimes they call this religion. They call this a gift of God. And there may be all kinds of fornication and adultery and bank robbers and everything else sitting there. They don't ever seem to discern that. I'm telling you, you better watch out for Jezebel, because there ain't no telling what he'll do. They'll stoop to anything to drag people, God's people, off to the groves, to get them sidetracked. I run into somebody the other day, and he's telling me about they have church every Sunday in a little old business place, and I know some of the fellows. I know the deacon. Deacon so-and-so is in charge, and that fellow has been a reprobate for years, fooling with another man's wife. It's generally known. But he's got him a little grove and a few people that come by every Sunday morning. That man is wealthier enough that if he'd buckle down in any church in town and live for God, he could be a real blessing for the kingdom of God. It's not the money. It's that place of Jezebel that he wants, that place of leadership, that little offspring place, that place where he can kind of express himself and still live like the devil. Now, that's the spirit that I'm after tonight. Now, let me finish this other story. The man goes up, and he was picked out of the congregation. Come up here, brother. He says, you have heart trouble. The man did have heart trouble because he had black, dark places under his eyes, puffy eyes. You can very well tell a man's got heart trouble or kidney trouble or maybe both when he has certain looks on his face. If you know anything about medical books at all and health records, you can pretty well tell it's either heart trouble or kidney trouble or maybe both when a man's face looks in a certain manner, when it's dark under his eyes and puffed out eyelids and all this. So he calls him up and he discerns. And all this just, and he tells the man, now, if you will make a promise to God, you'll be healed in this service here tonight. Well, the man was already just pulled under by this man's preaching and teaching. So he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to put your life savings in the offering tonight. In that case, it was $3,000. $3,000 is a lot of money when that's your life savings and that's all you've got and you're 60-something years old and you're unable to work. That's a lot of money. And the man emptied or wrote a check for every penny that he had that night and put it in that offering. He comes home only to have an attack and put in the hospital, and I visit him every day for several days. Next year, he goes back for another shot. He didn't get enough a year ago. He goes back. He takes half of the church with him again on a Sunday night when he ought to have been praying for his own community, when he ought to have been working for his own people. I'm only using him as an example to help you, because some of these days, Jezebel is going to say, let's go down to the groves and let's have us a meeting. We're having such a good time down there. Oh, you never felt such liberty. Brother Rutledge has got things bound up over there. He's got to where he just don't let anything go. You better believe it. Because you have suffered that woman Jezebel. I'm not talking about a woman right now. I'm talking about spirits that wants to rule. I've heard people actually say, if I can't lead it, I'll run it. I heard that from a man one time. That's the spirit of Jezebel. No telling what he'll do. Oh, God. Okay. This man goes back, takes half the church with him, and to the hurt of the pastor. The pastor called me. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this old brother. He's taking half the church. We need him. God knows we need him. They need to be here helping us. They're running off up there, giving everything they can give to that man. That very next week, that man fell dead with a heart attack. I'm not saying that was chastised, but I'm saying that his time run out. It was time for him to go. So I was asked to help in the funeral service, of which I did. I went down to the home. That pastor and his family and that few saints were supplying food. They brought food in and they'd taken care of it. That pastor and his wife sang and preached the funeral, and I had a little part in the funeral. But while these saints were bringing in the food, I said, where's Brother David? You see, there's a time when you need your church. David's gone. He's in Philadelphia or somewhere else. But now, there comes a time when you need your brothers and sisters, just like Howard Hustleth and Elton Jones and Gary Taylor and Johnny May and Brother Morris and you. We need one another. And David, or I could call a lot of names tonight, but just name them. Tom, Dick, and Harry. They're not there to help you. When you really need a church, it's people like this that you need to be a part of. And I'm going to tell you, regardless of how much might happen in the tent or in the groves, there's not a thing that God has that can happen under the big tent that can't happen right here at 6th and Dakota Street or wherever God's people worship. The key is worship. The key is love God. The key is know God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Let's love the Lord. Will you love the Lord? Will you love the Lord? Say, don't let anybody plant it in the minds of your children that something's greater somewhere else than you've got right here. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on what God has brought to Pine Bluff, on our church, upon our worship. There's nothing excels this unless we kill it. Now, we can drag it to death. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So this goes on. I mentioned these other little issues. Here comes somebody. You know, a few years ago, Brother Alvy Ear came to our church. Alvy Ear. Is that the way he said? Alvy Ear. From South America. Good preacher. And I know some of you are going to frown at me now, but I'm going to say it anyhow. You know, that's one good thing about being founder of a church and being pastor of a church, and being daddy of a church. I can say things to you that most pastors can't say because they get fired. But you didn't hire me, and you can't fire me, see? Isn't that wonderful? That's right. If you did, I'd just scoot over and keep preaching Fine Bluff because this building is not too good anyhow. We'd just go out somewhere else, you know. One of these days, I'll give it to you if you want it, and I'll go. No, I won't. I won't sell it. Put it on that other one. All right, everybody say worship. That's what we want to do, worship right now. Amen. All right. Now, what was I going to tell you, whether you liked it or not? Alvear, he preached for Brother Don Johnson. I was over there. After he preached, he had a healing line. And he come by, he had the folks come by, and nearly everyone, at least two out of three that he'd touch would fall over like cordwood, just boom. They just land all over the floor. Now, I've always thought that I don't see a whole lot of glory in you just falling out, kaplop. Now, some of you maybe need to get knocked down, and for that type, if you've been doing wrong or you hadn't been doing right, maybe you need a good knocking down. But I can do that without deception. I can do that without putting my hand on your forehead and the other hand on your Adam's apple. Brother Johnny, as big as you are, if you come up here and I put my hand in your head and take my other hand, keep your Adam's apple, you're going to be down with it. Partly dodging, partly hurting, partly falling, partly knocking down. But this thing is pulled among our churches and called the power of God. Now, there's an exception. Saul was knocked down. But look what he'd been doing, having the saints of God martyred. But some of this stuff that comes around is nothing short of the spirit of Jezebel, division and pulling people off and fighting against the truth, and will cut the heads of people off that are trying to do right if they have their way. Okay, he came by here, and he prayed, and you remember the night. He tried the same thing. Everybody come by. We cooperate, but there's only one fell out, and that was the little Hall girl. And you know the Hall family back then. They had a lot of family problems and all that, so she fell down. She was not one of our members. She went somewhere else that time. But the rest of us, we enjoyed his preaching. It was mighty good. But you've just been taught that all this touch and fall business is not exactly too edifying. Now, they talk about the holy rollers when people used to roll. I've seen some of that. I've seen them roll because they had the spirit of the devil in them and they needed to roll to get rid of it. But that's not the way we worship. Praise God. They call us a holy roller. I don't mind. Sister Rankin's neighbor comes by and says, "Hi, holy roller." I say, "Hi, Carmelite." And we get along fine, see. That's the truth. We just fun that way. He is by here tonight, and he's not likely to come. But if he is by, I'd say we're glad to have our Carmelite friend here with us tonight. And he says good to be in a Holy Roller service. He come by here a while back. He's secretary of their group. They've got a large church over on Hazel Street, you know. Called me out to the car there. And he said, "If you're the Carmelite preacher, here's what you'd be getting." He had that fellow's check for him that week. Showed me his check. $400. He said, "Now, don't you wish you was a Carmelite preacher?" I said, "Nope." I could have told him a few things he didn't know. Man, there's been times I've got $500. And I was another side that I wouldn't tell him to. Amen. There's been a time that I didn't get enough to count. Praise God. But things are going good right now. God's been good to us in the Apostolic Church. Now, I'm trying to teach you tonight, don't follow after every old dog. Amen. I'm not fighting Brother Alvier, whatever his name is. He's a good man. But that part of it, he can leave off. Brother Joyner come to Dewdrop and preached us a revival. And we had a good one. Brother Nicky, Sister Margie, I think Doug Minton, maybe he got with Miller, revival following, but the Mintons come in during that time. Brother Burnham, and a whole bunch of others, 35 altogether, got the Holy Ghost in that revival. And that was a great revival. And then he went crazy. Two revivals later, he had flipped his lid. Now you say it don't happen. He did. And that boy today is selling real estate instead of preaching. Now smoke that in your pipe. It doesn't pay to run off after silliness and radicalism. It'll be your defeat. Stand by the solid foundation. Hallelujah. Stand by. Anyway, he came back to Star City. He whispered in my ear. This was about 3 weeks after he'd been with us in that great revival. He said, "Now I'm going to be with you Sunday morning if it's all right. I'd like to come back and be in church with all the people prayed through." And so, of course, that's fine. But then when he preached, he got on some stuff that he had run into since he had shed his necktie. He decided that's wrong. You don't have to wear a necktie, but don't tell me it's a sin. Now, sometimes I'm called a compromiser. No, sir, I'm not. I'm just for the truth. If the Word of God says don't wear shoes, then I'm not going to wear shoes. But the Word of God don't say that, except to Moses. And he was talking to a burning bush. And if I ever see a burning bush that talks back, I'll pull my shoes off. Praise God. That don't mean that everybody's got to do it. Listen, I want to show you something. I'm talking about the spirit of Jezebel tonight. The spirit of tear-up. The spirit of dissension. The spirit of... It could go on and on. There's people that try to elevate themselves to down everybody else. That's the spirit of Jezebel. I want to be the leader. I want to be it. It's like a bunch of kids. You can't hardly have a softball team with the kids down here at the park. Just go down... I'm talking about from... You know, just kids from 30-year-old down, just little ones, you know. Everybody wants to pitch. And everybody wants to bat first. You've got a problem. I don't care who you point as captain. Let me pitch. And if you just let everybody pitch at once, you're going to lose the game. Because some of them fellows that think they can pitch can't pitch. And they can't play first base. In fact, they can't play at all. But they want that place. They want that prominent place. That me first business. Same thing can happen with the music. I'm not a guitar player, but that don't sound too bad. If I could sing, "Go down, Moses, down in Egypt land. Go down, Moses, down in Egypt land." Well, I could sound better, I'm sure. It could just sound a whole lot better, but I'm doing my best there. Praise God. But Rendell, I want you to come up here and sing it. Come on. Just show them the difference. Come on. Bless your heart. We appreciate this, boy. But you know what? I don't like for anybody to outdo me. This is the spirit of Jezebel talking. I don't like for anybody to show me up. In fact, I like to show everybody else up. If I can't do it, I'd like to ruin everything they try to do. Come on. Sing the same song. Step up here and sing it good. Play that guitar like you can, brother.
I've lost my voice.
Oh, you... I fixed your wagon. That's what's wrong with it. I was going to show him that he's not going to outdo me. I untuned it real good. You'd be surprised the stunts that people pull sometimes in the spirit of Jezebel to put somebody else down to elevate themselves up. That's the spirit of Jezebel that I'm talking about. Now, I've had to fire Jezebel a few times from things. And to see Jezebel, and it could be a grandpa Jezebel, but to see them sit and ride old stub for 6 months. If I can't be a teacher, if I can't do this, and I'm not talking about Brother Hankins or Brother Nicky or some of these fellows that I've... You know, every once in a while I switch around, and I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to keep on switching around. I don't want anybody to think they own this thing but me. I don't know. God bless your heart. If I'd resign today, and I'm not about to unless the Lord calls me home, but if I'd resign today, I'd want the next pastor that comes to have the same authority that I have. One of our brothers said to me one day, he said, Brother Rutledge, I don't know what would happen if you'd resign the church. And you know, I do give back quite a little bit. I'm not bragging, but I don't come to you and make you pay the light bills every month. You know, the Sunday school offering don't pay these light bills. Have you thought about that? It goes in the building fund. And now, until June the 10th, the Sunday night offering goes in the building fund. The Wednesday night offering goes in a little retirement fund, which we appreciate very much. God bless your heart for being so thoughtful along this line. So all that leaves then to operate the church on and so forth is the tithing. Now, out of the tithing, we pay the light bills, and we pay anything that's to be paid, the plumbing that tears up, the painting on the building, the help pay evangelists, to help pay extra speakers, and we do have a lot of speakers sometimes. And whether you're, excuse me, I'm having trouble. I'm not Belgian. I didn't eat much. It's not that. But I'm glad nobody here but us. But you'd be surprised sometimes. On Wednesday night, a good speaker come by. He preaches. We take the offering. We give it to our evangelists, $17.45. But we don't pay our visiting evangelists $17.45. Saturday night, you call Brother Warbington. Your offering is $35 sometimes. If Alma knows, I'll say, I'll put you in another 20 or sometimes 30 out of the tithe that you paid. I'm glad we can do that. I'm glad. But now there's some preachers that will take all the tithes, every bit of it, and make you dig up the payment, make you dig up the insurance. We had $1,700 insurance the other day. Boy, that hurt. That took a whack out. Aren't you glad I didn't take that up Sunday morning? But it's through your cooperation tithing, and I'm not crying about it. I'm glad I had it to pay. But do you just tell that liar Jezebel and says, oh, Brother Rutledge is getting rich over here. He takes all the tithes. I don't do any such thing. I control all of them. I get the pleasure of writing a bunch of them checks and help paying bills. And we take as our salary. That's not all that we live from this church. You buy a lot of gas for me. You pay some car payments for me. You pay some utilities for me. But I do a lot of entertaining too. But we take $195 each week out of that we call ours, that we do as you would do. And we save out of that for little things that we want to do. Now, I don't mean that you don't do more than that for me, because I'm at liberty. If I want to make a trip to a conference or something, I'm at liberty that the church pays that expense, which is only right. I could take every dime of it, and I wouldn't be wrong as far as you're concerned. I know you'd go along with me, but I'm here to see a work, and I would want the next pastor that follows me to have the same authority that I've got. Don't you tie the hands of any minister that might follow me. You let that man. First of all, you choose a man in the will of God. Don't you get a political campaign going and start calling all Sunday afternoon and say, vote this way and vote that way. You get on your prayer bones and seek the will of God, that God will give you a man, because if the wrong man comes, he'll buy himself speed boats and motorcycles and motorhomes, and you will be digging up every payment under the sun to pay for things. And the church will bust all to pieces. But when you rise up against the man of God, even though you make a wrong choice in getting him, the day comes that you have to rise up against the man of God, that the spirit of Jezebel, even though something may seemingly have to be done, God forbid that conditions ever are where you have to take it in your hands to rise up against the leadership, because when you do, things is in a mess. The church splits. It's in all kinds of trouble. Praise the Lord. We must learn to follow the will of Almighty God. Well, one more thing. I hope you're getting a little bit out of this. It's scattered, but I remember that little story of that little boy and his grandpa went squirrel hunting. And grandpa's going to teach his son how to kill squirrels. And he said, see that squirrel up there? And he said, yes. He said, now take this gun, and you aim right at it, and pull the trigger. And the kid did it, and the squirrel ran around the tree. And he said, let me have that gun. So he walked around, shook the bush, and the squirrel come back around. He said, now here's the way, and granddad is getting old. Boom! And the squirrel fell out. He said, yeah, but granddad said, you shot all over the tree. And maybe that's what I'm doing here tonight, you see. All right. Steve, you remember the other night when I said, don't clap your hands so loud. You'll never forget that, of course. And I thought about bringing you a pair of canvas gloves for a joke tonight. They say, why are these? See? Now, there's a reason I did that. When you're clapping, and you didn't all sincerity in worship, but when your clapping becomes so predominant that the farthest person in the church hears you above the rest, that's a little bit wrong. Now, you're not the only one. Brother Ricky did it. DeRay, boy, he about kills me. He gets, if Jackson don't turn him off, he gets right in the mic. Brother Bear, you know I love Brother Bear. Brother Bear is one of the best, if not the best preacher that I ever heard preach. And he just worries the life out of me when he gets people worshiping God and starts beating that. That thing costs $100. You paid for it, didn't you? You didn't know it, but you did. All right. And besides, that's not very edifying. That's annoying. That ain't nothing to worship about. That's nothing but flat noise. Now, we get a little noisy sometimes, but let it come from the heart. Okay, let's go back a few years. We got a little choir up here, and they do her real good. Fern Holcomb, she got healing. She is a good old gal back in them days that she messed up. But Fern would stand here in the choir. Who you think you'd hear when the choir sang? Above everybody else, you heard Fern. Now, that's just a little bit wrong. Something stinks about that. As something starts with a J, when you become the one that stands out, what you want to learn to do is to be one that fits in. Praise God. You fit in. You become a part of the pack. Amen. And that's the reason I instruct. You know, young folks are liable to get on anything. You know, a few years ago, Brother Bayer's here in a revival, and we got that running started. And old Cressley and who else was it? Buddy? Gary Cross? Dear Lord, look what all's happened to Gary since then. They run, and I mean like a bullet around this thing. It was dangerous to come to church on that night. One of them fell down here, and they run all over him. One of them hadn't stomped his fingers or maybe his eyeballs out that night. So I said, now, boys, that's enough of that running. Boy, I stopped the whole thing. I mean, spirit and all. Some of the parents even got ruffled. There comes a time that folks need teaching. Now, all running is not a... When it becomes dangerous, it's no longer of God. Amen. So that's what a pastor's for, to put you in your place. Amen. If you got a quartet, all you can hear is the bass singer, it's not much of a quartet. All you can hear is the alto singer, it's not much of a quartet. It's supposed to be harmony. The whole church is supposed to be harmony. Our whole worship is supposed to be harmony. Praise God, praise God. You've got the musical instruments. We've had this problem, and sometimes, and I'm not talking about Danny now. I put him over where I can't hear him. But when he's sitting here with him or Brother Frank, all I hear is that guitar. And it bugs me. I don't like to hear one instrument above the other. I like to hear the piano. I like to hear the organ. I like to hear the guitar. I like to hear the drums. But if all you hear is drums, or all you hear is electric guitar, there's nothing more beautiful than electric guitar when it's played right. But when they turn that thing up just to be heard, I smell Jezebel. That's right. I don't like that. I don't even think God likes that. We want a sweet-smelling savor going up before God. We want something that's edifying. Even in speaking in tongues, that's of God. When you speak in tongues, you're to edify the church. If there's no interpretation, you're to keep your voice down. You say, I can't, but the Word says you can. Keep your voice down. Let your communication be between you and God, because let everything be done for edification. Praise God. Well, I've got to stop. I've got 100 more things I wanted to mention. The spirit of old Jezebel. But it rules and it reigns and it shows its head. It tries to tear up things. But God's people try to build things. We stand together. We're a unit. We're for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together, will you? Love God. Lift your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. No! call the name because there's a little relation of some of the families that come here sometime. But when I first came to Dewdrop in 1952, I met this lady at Sheridan. And she said, "We have been thinking about driving the Dewdrop to church because we have a preacher who is now spiritual communion. We can't tolerate that doctrine. We'd like to come over there until our church gets straightened out." Well, that didn't sound too bad. I said, "Well, everybody's welcome in the Dewdrop Pentecostal Church." So she came. And she came in speaking in tongues. Not really. Not really. Well, what's supposed to be tongues? And I recognized and had her testify, and she just took the morning service. Well, I knew that didn't really sound exactly right. And my people were good enough. They're so tired of confusion. They'd been through a lot of things just before then. And not a one of them told me the situation. Not one. I had to discern for myself that this was not quite right. And then right after that, this man that she'd been coming in arm with to church every Sunday, I thought was her husband. And lo and behold, he knocked my door one morning. I still live in Sister Rogers in that little old part of the church there. And he said, "I want you to preach Mr. So-and-so's funeral." I said, "Well, who are you?" I thought he is Mr. So-and-so. He is arming up his Mr. So-and-so's wife. I'd seen him riding to town like lovers, like 16-year-old lovers, you know, that don't know no better, you know. Look like one body and two heads, you know. Well, he said, "Well, I'm just a friend." Well, he's a mighty close friend. And so I went over and I preached the man's funeral. And this woman got over the casket and went off of that same kind of tone, just as artificial as a $3 bill. Well, I knew, I purposed that day, she's not going to, then we come up on the platform like you did a while ago and sing. I purposed she's not going to go up there with that, not living that kind of life. So I met her outside, and as she come in, I hand her a little note. "Please don't come on the platform. I'll explain after church." I didn't have to explain. She loaded on me with all bony fingers. She said, "I know what's wrong. Garland Huckabee told you." Garland Huckabee hadn't told me anything, but she said he had. And she said, "I won't be back." I don't guess she ever was. But I hate that spirit of Jezebel. I hate that spirit of Jezebel. Not too long ago, I was in Malvern in church, and there's a woman there that had the same tongue. I want to tell you, everything claims to be tongues. A lot of this charismatic business is not of God. There's a lot of this wildfire is not of God. Somebody said, "Well, I have wildfires, no fire at all." I'm not answering now. Tell them to call back. I'd rather have wildfires, no fire at all. Don't say that. Just get the real fire. Wildfire is not worth anything. So you don't have to do it without the real thing. Get the real fire. Brother Gammon said, "Well, we've got enough wet blankets to put out the wildfire anyhow." Well, this is Malvern, and here was a woman. She started that same rigmarole. Sounded exactly like 25 years ago I'd heard before. I punched my wife. I said, "That's the spirit of you-know-who," and called her name. After church, she come running up to us and told us where she was from. The same little assembly. Same old spirit. Listen, folks, spirits gets on you. Spirits gets on you. It's not just the kind that lets you do this way either. It'll get in you to do wrong. It'll get in you to rise up against the church, against the body. It'll get in you to pull off. It'll get in you to go to the groves. Listen, I must say this. Step back down just a minute. I'm not quite through. I won't tell you. It'll get in you if you're not careful and good intended things. And you start, and please don't misunderstand me. Sister Rutledge had a sweet service in the nursing home today. These boys are having them on Tuesday night. That's all fine and good. But don't you ever get it in your mind that that takes the place of church. Don't you think that that takes the place of a pastor and a church and a solid man? That's never. That goes with the church. That's under the church. I want you to know something tonight. I'm head of every department of this church under God. I am head of the Sunday school superintendents. Brother Charles knows that. He wouldn't make a move without asking me, "Is it all right for so-and-so?" Brother Howard knows I'm over his class. He wouldn't dare do anything. Most usually, if he wants some young man or someone to even teach his class, he comes to me, "Is it all right?" Even with Brother Franks or Brother Mickey, and he knows it's all right. But God bless that boy. Is it all right if Brother Franks teaches in my class? I like that. Not that I want to be Big Daddy, but that's a church for you. That's a church. Praise God. Then somebody gets the idea, we'll just go out here and we'll start something on our own. Don't be too quick to do that. You may be a Jezebel that's just going to the groves. You be sure you're doing it for the glory of God and not for the glory of me. I know people, listen to me closely, I know people that would like to start a prayer meeting, and as long as they're in charge, they're at every prayer meeting. But the minute they're not in charge, you can't get them on their knees. Now, I'm not talking about Brother Wilson, some of you, or Brother Jackson. He started a prayer meeting. That's fine and good, but he still prays. Now, if he didn't, it'd be the spirit of Jezebel. Praise God. If Rendell's had the choir, if he'd have nothing to do with the choir now just because he's not the official leader, then he's got the spirit of Jezebel. Amen. If I take you out as the leader of whatever you are, I'm over the choir. I hardly ever sang in it, but I'm pastor of the choir. I'm pastor of the young people. Don't you young people dare get any kind of program going. A couple of years ago, Brother Bernard got all excited, and before I knew it, him and several more had it announced we were going out here somewhere to the paper mill thing. Nice little place. But I just didn't like it because they announced it before I knew it. That's a little bit wrong. And of course, we had that over and under and out, and he didn't get his feelings hurt. I said, go ahead and have it. It's got announced, but next time you talk to me first. I kind of believe that everything needs to be around the church as much as possible where I can pastor it. Now, the reason... If you're not careful, if you start a ball game, they'll go to the ball games. There's something about ball games that girls think T-shirts and blue jeans are supposed to be worn at a ball game. You say, oh, it don't happen. It did happen. We was going to Monticello to play. And boy, we don't want to go to Monticello playing dressed wrong. Here come Beverly Devine, Sister Pauline's granddaughter, and two or three more girls. Of course, they wasn't claiming the Holy Ghost, but that don't make any difference. They're representing the church. If you're going to go somewhere on a church picnic, you're going to act like church people or you ain't going. If I have anything to do with it. Here they come out with some tight jeans on. I said, you girls not going to, you're not going down there to represent our church like that, are you? And they, well, yeah, we didn't think. I said, well, you're not going. So they went off. As far as I know, they didn't get hurt. And so about that time, here come Rhonda. And she was a Sunday school teacher at that time. And she had on culottes that was so thin and thin to short, it wasn't funny. And I was already stirred up, and I said, Rhonda, my Lord. And you know, I appreciate Rhonda and Chip. You know, I'm just flat with everybody. I said, you're not going to wear them things. I just run off some girls, and here you come. She said, what do you want to do? I said, go to the house and get you a dress. Okay. Old Chip wasn't in church, and he had some cut-off jeans. And he said, what about me? Okay, we go out here to the little deal that we had the little disturbance about. First one shows up is Joanne. Where are you, Joanne? Joanne and Nita and another little girl come with her, had on jeans. I saw them, but I turned my head. I heard Marcel say, Joanne, you kiss your kids home, you know, brother, don't like that. I saw that station wagon start, and away they went, and they come back with dress. It happens. It happens. Fish and chips, if you're not careful, you'll dress like the devil. Now, listen, folks, if these things are right, wherever you go and whatever you do. Now, there's longer dresses, and I'm not, listen to me closely, I'm not so much against a culotte. That's a seam sewn down the center of your dress, sewn down the center of your dress. I'm not so against that if it looks decent. But if it looks like pants, I'm against it. If it looks like shorts, I'm against it. I'm not saying it. Hell, I'm just saying it don't get the church. If you do damage to the church, you're in trouble. You can't get a blessing, you can't shout, you can't testify, you can't sing, you don't feel good. You think everybody's talking to get about you, you think everybody, first thing you do is say, everybody in that church is hypocrites. That's the spirit of Jezebel. It's not everybody in the church, it's you. You got sideways, you got rebellious, you want to dress like you want to dress, you want to act like you want to act, you want to do like you want to do, and then blame the whole church because nobody loves you. It's you that's sideways, if the case be so. Oh, hallelujah. I told you I had a message.
That's good.
And you know I've been belching all night long. It's trying to come out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm saying, folks, we need the spirit of cooperation. Steve's feeling his call to the ministry. He's going to tell you more about that in a few days. He's going to make a good one. But don't you dare run off and preach somewhere for the first year or two without telling me where you're going, because it might be best for your soul not to go. There's some harebrains out there. You'll come back with all kinds of ideas and crazy things. And I want you to know, and I promise you by the fear of God, neither me or anybody else is going to preach very long in here that's not solid foundation truth. This is a church of truth. We're not going to go to the right and we're not going to go to the left. We're going to stand right where it is.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sister Franks came to church here. Well, how'd you face, Linda? Now, I'm going to quit this time. If you start the music softly, just real softly. Pidge and I have it over the music sometimes. We don't argue. I do tell her, I don't like for anybody, unless I time for altar calls, soft music, or time for prayer, soft music. But when I'm talking or you're testifying, I don't like for anybody to play music or pick the guitar. Boy, if anything gets my goat, if somebody... All the time you're talking or testifying. I don't think God likes that. And I don't like for someone to play on the musical instrument so I can't hear you testify. Now there comes a time for music. That's loud enough right there. I'm talking about what I like, but I don't always get what I like. Sometimes the musician getting all the attention. I make announcements, nobody hears it. Heard a song, though. All right. Now that's what I'm talking about, really. I don't need no encore when I've got something to say.
Pray, and with victory the Lord from His way. So